Podcast. I, of course, am G Money here on another lovely evening in the heart of Kahului Town in or at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
It was almost perfect until I screwed that up.
Of course, joining me tonight to my left is the man we call the Cinema Scholar. And for those of you that affectionately call him also the Cinnamon Scallop, ladies and gentlemen, he is the man with one A in his
the
name.
The most disgusting appetizer on the menu.
Give it up for A-Rod, ladies and gentlemen.
Freak.
I mean, welcome.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Also joining us tonight on the show is the man. He is the gaming guru himself, and also
I think I know who they're talking about.
The man who has caught up on movies as well. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Format. He's in the house as well.
Where's the ladies?
So I don't know. Also joining us tonight, he is my cinema soulmate. He is also the man who is. Normal. He's got two R's in his name. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the professor of cinema. He actually holds a certificate of graduation that says... It's from a college.
There.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Cinema Scholar himself. It's to Professor Barry's in the house tonight. And last but certainly not least, he is the godfather of comic books. He is... The man we like to call the chairman of the comic book board. He is the owner, proprietor of Maui Comics and Collectibles.
He's the only one on the comic book board.
That's right. Yeah. You can check him out here at 115 South Waikea Avenue. If you're wondering where it is, it's between the Sheiks with Dr. Danny Leakes. He's in the house tonight as well.
You are now asking me why you call me a doctor, and I have to like tell them. I'm just like... Because they're
the
dumb.
Comic book physician.
Dr. Daddy Leakes. Anyway, gentlemen, how's your week been, everybody?
Time for hard media.
Yep. That's right. That's A-Ron's.
It's hard.
That's going to be the name of another nickname for A-Ron. He is the master of hard media. So he's going to be the master of hard media.
That sounds intimidating.
Yeah.
He's got so many nicknames.
Hey, yeah.
Like just joined the cast. Four nicknames.
You should dress up like Zardoz with a name like that.
I think the only reason why I call you Dr. Leakes is because of Sam Campos, by the way.
Like a mashup from the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, where he's like, paging Dr. Herman.
Dr. Herman.
Paging
There's a telephone call at the front desk. Yeah. I know that whole movie.
Can we get a PA put in? And then do that?
Paging Dr.
No, because paging he says, Dr. he doesn't say doctor. He says, paging Mr. Herman.
Oh.
Mr. Herman.
Oh, why do I put a doctor in my memory?
At
man.
The front desk. Does everybody remember who played Pee-wee Herman in the movie?
Yes.
It was some dude with a beard.
Yes, it was. Not only was it the dude with a beard, he's also Mrs. Barbara Streisand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Star of the Amityville.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, star of the Amityville Horror.
Why is his name like escaping me now?
And his son.
His son is a Thanos.
Oh, there you go. I don't know.
James Brolin.
Thank you. Or Thanos, is the, if you will. Anyway,
is
gentlemen.
Is it Thanos or is it Thanos?
I think
chat?
It's Thanos or Thanos?
Thanos.
It's, Thanos? I got a Thanos. I got to pull it out. Oh, gosh. Anyway, A-Ron, I'm going to go to you first tonight. What's been happening with you? you're on my left.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Just watching movies.
Oh,
going
good.
To work.
Good, good.
Same thing.
Again, shocker.
We're going to be talking about your movies that you saw this weekend.
That's what I was telling Format earlier. I don't have a very interesting life.
Also, Format, you have caught up with a couple of films while you've been doing your duties here.
Yeah, but we covered all that in the pre-show.
Yes,
so
we
we're
did.
We're just going to move on, right?
We should, yeah, but right. Let's just for those of
Professor
you
Barry.
Yeah, but you're supposed to try to talk about it so we can interrupt you.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. So I got to see...
Hey, what's up, Barry?
That's good. For those of you that weren't part of the pre-show on the podcast... the one and only gaming guru got a chance to finally watch The Greatest Showman and The Last Jedi.
Oh, wow.
And he thought The Greatest Showman was better than The Last Jedi.
Hmm. Well, I hope so.
Not by much.
No.
I mean, it was good.
It was good. That's good. That's good. You play any games lately?
Not really. I'm set up for pre-release stuff. So I'm waiting for those games to go live. Before I get to playing anything new?
I've been playing a lot of Far Cry 5, and I have got on standby on Friday God of War. So I have heard nothing but good things, so I put it on pre-order, and now I'll be playing some God of War, and I'll give you my update next week Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, do that.
So that'll be fun. Anyway, Professor Barry.
Yes, sir.
As I live and breathe, my friend, my
your
hero
Polaris,
life mate.
Your one constant.
He is my North Star, wow. Ladies and gentlemen. Wow. How have you been?
You must get lost a lot.
I'm good. Things are good.
Good, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what you've been up to lately? I heard that... It's really starting to get in my craw a little bit. You and Aaron talk intimately quite often, and it's really starting to.
We've been missing out on such winners as Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh,
and what was the other winner that we saw? Rampage.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about that
later.
We've
been missing out on some great stuff.
All right, awesome,
so much,
awesome.
Is that sarcasm? I can't tell
either because Barry's good at hiding sarcasm. You can, by the way, you can check out Professor Barry's Maui Time Weekly review of Rampage, or you can just stay tuned right here because it's coming up in just a few minutes. So that's gonna be fun.
I'd rather read it,
Dr. Leese. Dr. Leeks, before we get to you, Dr. Leeks, big shout out to our
Facebook. I'm not a real doctor.
Big shout out to our Facebook fans who are watching us live and chatting. We know that Lisa, you're right, Monster Hunter's update is coming out. I can't wait to get my filthy paws on that update. I still got to really play Monster Hunter, so I can't wait. But I do want to let you guys know before we get to Dr. Leeks and the comic book list, you guys can download the podcast on iTunes and on Audioboom and on Stitcher.
Because what's up, man?
I already clarified with the rest of the people. There were some issues that I had to deal with.
Sounds,
I'll be getting that down this
excuses.
Week
okay.
and next week.
Sounds good.
This week's podcast and last week's podcast will be going up tomorrow, so we'll check that out. But you can download our stuff on Stitcher as well, and you can download the Maui Watch app and listen to us anytime, all the time, and keep up with everything that's Maui only on the Maui Watch app. That's on the Google Play Store or... the iTunes App Store, so check it out.
You do that way too well.
Yeah, sorry. I try my best. I was on radio for double digit years.
You've been hanging.
Well,
on
if
to
you
that want to
talk about
long time
all things Maui mm-hmm. and all things cinema, mm-hmm. I notice you haven't brought up yet mm-hmm. that Gopher Broke is coming to Maui.
That was going to be part of the story because I want to get to the comic book
yeah,
list first,
keep
and then
acting
move
like,
on
whatever.
To the actual actual news of the show
at the EL Theater May 3rd.
Okay,
tickets are $25.
It's going to be since you brought it up, we'll bring it up beforehand. The wonderful Stacey Hayashi and her movie Gopher Broke is going to be at the EL Theater. I'm curious as to what is preventing, considering the fact that Stacey's movie is getting so much hype, I'm wondering what's preventing her movie from actually doing the same thing as Brian Cohn's movie did with Kuliana.
Well, so the production of both, they're completely different paths. Like, so Brian Cohn's is just like your traditional movie. You know, somebody invests in it, produce it, they bring it to market or whatever, and so they market it that way. Whereas Stacey's was actually funded
by the government.
The government. So so they're and they're, you know, they were working it as a nonprofit. So there are certain other guidelines that they have to abide by.
Right, of
especially
course.
Especially with the release and things like that. So that's, but right now, if you wanted to, you could watch it on Vimeo.
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 Vimeo is great on a turkey sandwich as well.
Yeah. I bought it and I was actually kind of just waiting to see it on the big screen because I prefer to watch it that way.
Sorry.
Thanks. I have to say that I'm very excited for Stacey. If you're
I am
living,
too,
if
but
you're
what
here,
I really want to know is who is Professor Barry taking? G or
A-Rod? I can tell you it's going to be A-Rod. Yeah, he's the flavor of the month, that's why. That's what he can't help.
Yeah, strawberry, ladies and gentlemen, strawberry.
once your looks start to fade.
It's become a John Hughes high school film. Right.
It has been a little bit. But anyway, a big shout out to Stacey Hayashi.
Let me interrupt. Her film won the Hawaii Film Critics Society vote for best Hawaii film.
Yes, it did. Yep. It absolutely
amazing.
Did.
Amazing.
I have to tell you something.
And knowing the people...
Well, like this one.
Well, here's Juliana. The thing. If you know anything about the Hawaii Film Critics Society, the Hawaii Film Critics Society is never wrong. So you have to say that her winning the her film Go For Broke winning is
place,
a monumental.
First place, and she doesn't have a shirt.
That's right.
Actually, they do.
I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something.
I never got one. So
because of the success in the islands of Kuleana, I am surprised that – I wouldn't be surprised if Go For Broke did get a theatrical release. Because Kuleana is
I think that's the hope, but also and, you know, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but
– You may be.
There's a – you know, since it was done with government funds, there's also a plan – because there's follow-up movies planned. This is not just a single movie.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be in a series of movies. Right. And that's the, you know, the intent behind the funding for it. So I think that – There was
were
other
state
release
funds
plans
or were
for
these federal funds?
I think they were state.
Were they state funds?
Yeah, and that's actually
funds that we don't have access to.
The late sure. Representative Mark Takai helped secure those funds.
Yes, he did. And it was wonderful. By the way,
his brother George is awesome.
Our good friend Sam Campos, the man who created, by the way, Pineapple Man, he's also in the film, if I'm not mistaken.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So are a lot of people.
And he did a lot of work behind the scenes
as
well.
Yes, he did. He did a ton of work behind the scenes.
But who else is in the movie that you might recognize? Peter Shinkoda, who is Nobu from Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Who we also got Jake Shimabukuro has a major role in that.
Cool.
I haven't watched the movie yet.
You mean the ukulele savant?
Yeah.
That's not polite, man. I think
and he's doing the soundtrack.
Is that the right terminology?
I think you can say savant.
Oh,
fine.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. He's doing the soundtrack too, though.
Yeah, he did the soundtrack.
Nice. Well, he did the soundtrack, and I'm very excited for Stacey. Can't wait to see her when she gets here. It's going to be quite incredible.
We should interview her.
We should definitely
invite her to the show. Hell
yeah, we've had her on the show before. We'd love to have her again.
Yeah. I mean, she's rarely on Maui too. So, but hope maybe for the showing, if we can get ahead of it, see if we can find some time to get an interview.
Yeah, she'll
that'd be cool.
She'll do it for me. Anyway, let's check in with the man we like to call Dr. Daddy Leaks. He's got a store here at 115 South Wakea Avenue. Every single Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. And boy, oh boy, if you didn't hear it on the Facebook Live exclusively, we had a down and dirty discussion about the one and only Stan Lee. And let me tell you something, those rumors have been put to rest courtesy of Stan Lee. Did everybody see the hostage video? I mean, the video he put out?
They didn't see behind the camera he's got a gun to him. You're going to tell him that you're okay, see? Yeah. There's no elder abuse, see?
That slipped out. I didn't mean it that way. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to check in.
Bandai Suke, that's who I was forgetting. Jiro from
Kikaida.
He's also in Go For Broke. Sorry,
yes,
guys.
He is. Yes,
flow
he is.
Flow of consciousness, right?
Holy let's
crap.
Let's
totally
let's
Daisuke.
Yeah, Daisuke, wow. Daisuke, Daisuke, not Daisuke.
My ears are.
All right, it's New Comic Book Wednesday, so let's check in with the chairman of the Comic Book Board and find out what's new in the world of the comic books.
And the 5 seconds of silence action. Action Comics 1000 is coming out.
What? 1000 is about
years
time. 80 years.
Comics.
And this is the one that's all about the underwear, yes?
Yes, the underwear is coming back.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim Lee.
Yes.
That's not a thing.
Amazing Spider-Man number 7. It's going away in the next issue. We already saw the preview for it.
Oh.
It's just like a issue 1000.
Does he have the yellow belt? On and with that one,
I think so.
Okay, good.
Spider-Man 799, which is also a big. That's actually the major one. That's the one that everyone's going to be buying like crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
It's the first
not
appearance
like a thousand,
of,
but wow!
The first appearance of Norman Osborn as the Red Goblin. Okay, all right.
He's been around
on.
For a while.
Yeah, he has been.
Antar number 1, whatever that is.
Antar.
Antar. He sounds like a Hanna-Barbera. 70s cartoon. He's part of the Herculoids.
Ookla.
He's part of Ookla the Mock.
Yeah, Ookla the Mock. Avengers 689.
Ookla's offspring.
Batman 45.
Ooh.
Apparently that's some kind of key issue too.
45!
Batman Sins of the Father, number 3 of 6.
Okay.
Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, part 2, number 6 of 6.
Jeez, man.
Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 1.
Black was, Hammer, Age of Doom?
Very popular series by Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
having a new number one.
A lot of people be liking those, you know.
Black Panther, number 172.
172!
Crow, Memento Mori, number 2.
Somebody, by the way, before we, I don't mean to interrupt, but someone in the chat brought up a good question. What happened to all the Black Panther, what happened to all the Black Panther toys? And what happened to the action figure? What happened to the Black Panther McDonald's toy, the toy that was in the Happy Meal?
What?
Yeah, he was asking a question about Black Panther. What? Why wasn't he,
Did he get pulled, you mean?
No. He was wondering why it never got advertised, and why wasn't he part of, like, a Happy Meal or anything like
that? Did they do that for all Marvel movies?
Not all of them, but I think they did it for a few. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just curious. Anyway.
Short answer, racism. Yeah.
That Ray Kroc notoriously just...
anybody
he's on his deathbed, he's like, if there's ever a Black Panther movie, no toys.
Anybody who's anybody needs to watch The Founder of Michael Keaton. Yeah. It's amazing. Love that movie.
Yeah. So good.
All right, it's a great movie. Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
All right. We've got a free preview of Cloak and Dagger. Oh, that's just a poster.
Is it the Cloak and Dagger comic or the
TV
Cloak
show?
And Dagger
the TV show. That's the Freeform TV show. I want to watch that really bad, but it's on Freeform.
That's going up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going up next week.
No.
Descender. Todd would be all into Descender, number 29.
Doctor Strange.
Harley Quinn, 42. Infidel, number 205. I know Todd wants that.
Infidel.
Infinity Countdown, number 205. John Wick, number 2.
Really? John Wick, number 2.
It's been a while. It's been over a month since number 1, I think.
Huh. Wow.
The one we have on our show.
Okay. I know what it is. It's the variant covers that keep throwing me off. I keep thinking it's a new issue.
Yeah. Let's see. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 26.
26?
Moonshine, number 9. That's still going on.
Moonshine, could you give me a refresher on what
that's an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah. It's I
made
think
from
it's
potatoes.
About delicious. Moonshine runners and stuff like that.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
Is it a traditional story? Is it like
I haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I'm just judging
as
by the cover.
In using words or
English words.
Yeah.
Is it a bunch of rednecks driving around in the woods exploding tails on
yelling,
We're drunk. Woo! Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it's about.
That's awesome.
I want this comic now.
So do I.
Sonic the Hedgehog number 3, which has actually been quite popular lately.
Didn't Sonic have a follow-up game, or he has a game that's out now called Sonic Generations or something
maybe.
Like that? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
There's a new Sonic game, yeah.
Yeah.
Star Trek Discovery Succession number 1. Let's see.
Star Trek Discovery. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
That terrible show. I didn't watch it.
I
was too busy watching The Orville.
They made a comic based off the show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll be into the comic.
I have to tell you something.
Into the show.
Did you actually watch the show?
I only caught the first episode.
I did too, and I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, it did pull me in.
It didn't pull me in at all.
The Orville killed that show for them.
I might have.
Because the Orville was like all the good stuff about Star Trek that we wanted. They gave it to us. And then you got Star Trek Discovery, and they're like, try something new. And you're like, give me that Drake meme where I'm just like.
I didn't really. I think what didn't pull me in was the fact that I was not interested in what happened to the Klingons. I mean, as far as their appearance, I wasn't like, ooh, I want to know what happened to them, you know, or why they looked the way they looked. Or anyway. Sorry, I didn't want to go off tangent, but that was what I was thinking.
Kalimon, the Black Mirror episode, the new season 4 of Black
McAllister.
Mirror. The McAllister episode. That was great.
That was a great episode.
Very freaky. Venomized number 3 of 5 is coming out.
I wonder if Barry's gotten through any more Black Mirror.
Have you watched any more?
I have watched a little bit.
Oh, did you?
What season did you get to?
I've been skipping around.
Skipping around?
Because there's a bunch of people said, like, you got to see the one.
Did you watch White Bear?
I will.
Okay,
that's probably my favorite of the entire season. Because it's actually, like, a lot of them, there's a softer edge to it, so it doesn't give you that mind creep that, you know, your really good episode of Twilight Zone will give you. But White Bear is just all
But I know Barry.
Hard edge.
I know Barry, Aaron.
Wow. Oh, the ladies are on their way.
All right, so Barry. If Barry's interested in the series, he will
binge the crap out of it.
He will binge the crap out of it. So I don't think Black Mirror is impressing him much.
And, you know, as I'm meditating on it and looking back on the series, it really, especially season 4, kind of showed me how weak it actually is. But there are some episodes that are worthy of the attention.
Yeah, he's like Shania Twain, you know, that don't impress him much.
Yeah.
So
it's like a Twilight Zone.
It's like you use the title of the song.
Yeah, I did.
Against any kind of argument anyone could bring up.
Correct. Absolutely.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Masterful strokes, sir.
Masterful.
Wow, so good.
So, thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway.
We've got...
What else?
Stan Sakai's Usagi Yojimbo, The Hidden, number 2 of 7.
Talented man.
Weapon H, number 2, and the gracious... headlining guest of last year's Maui Comic Con.
I tell you what, it feels like to me that Stan Sakai is definitely the godfather of independent comics, for sure.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yes. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree.
And we've got X-Files, Case Files, Florida Man, number 1.
DJ?
Question. Crazy. For those of you guys, was that the last of it?
No, X-Men Gold, number 26.
Gold, 26.
Xena, number 3 of 5.
Xena!
Who is reading that?
Who doesn't want to watch Lucy Lawless? Yeah.
Joy's reading it. She's the only one that's...
Oh, really? Is she reading it?
I did not watch the finale of X-Files.
Finale.
The finale.
Right.
Was it everything that it needed to be and more, finale. Or... Did you watch it? Or?
I haven't seen it yet. Okay. No, I've heard it's a bit of a letdown.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It sounds like they're just like limping to its death.
I did. I saw part of it, but I know how it ended.
Oh, okay. Well, don't say I want to watch it. Okay, I just want to check. Because I still haven't finished.
It ends with words on the screen.
That's what they call credits.
Into the Badlands season 3 is going to start pretty soon. I didn't watch season 2 yet.
I couldn't get into season 1, so I stopped.
I enjoyed season 1, but as soon as the training started happening at the compound, that was a very boring part. When they're like out wandering the land and like meeting other people and fighting and stuff and whatever, like that's
pretty totally
cool.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's cool. But when they're at like the compound and they're training and stuff, you're just like, this is boring.
That's totally how I felt about The Walking Dead. Like whenever they were out on the road being chased or whatever, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
But when they settle down, it sucks.
Well, here we are at the prison. Let's figure out how to farm it.
Well, here's the thing, is that on Sunday night, of course, was the season 8 finale of The Walking Dead. And according to the showrunners,
I heard it was a huge letdown.
The showrunner said that this finale is the finale of, I guess, 1 through 8, and we're starting something brand new in season 9, apparently. And also was the premiere of Fear of the Walking Dead as well. And this is the crossover with Morgan and everything.
Yeah,
so
Morgan's supposed to crossover.
I have to tell you something. I have been completely out of this show since the ending of season 5.
You know, everybody lately, it's just like slowly by slowly, people are just like, you know, pick their cash out point and then they're done with it.
Yeah.
I think it kind of helped that I don't have cable now, but I haven't watched any of season 8.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and I don't feel like I'm missing much because I kind of catch it up on the, you know, on the recaps and I'm listening to the plot points. I don't know.
Apparently, according to a good friend of the show, Jason Hintz, he says that season 8 ended exactly like the comic books did.
Well, and that's what the problem is because you can't change so much fundamental things about the story going into All Out War and then use the same ending that All Out War had. Mm-hmm. Because you don't feel the same way about Negan going, you know, and you literally legit watched him just bash in everybody you love's brains.
Right.
And then you only spent a season of Jeffrey Dean Morgan being kind of charming and stuff. And that's supposed to, you know, whereas in the comics, you had so many different things happen and so many other interactions that kind of.
Right.
Hi, guys.
Can I
girls,
say.
Girls, I'm sorry. Ladies.
So. Okay, so ultimately, The Walking Dead itself right now is it? Do you think it's on life support? Does anybody think that Walking Dead is kind of?
I think
on life
they
support?
Know the end is nigh.
I think they are dead. Like they are sitting in the water.
Wow!
Wow! There's goodies here.
This is
my life.
This doesn't look like a very hostile takeover.
Oreos are that's the way they get in.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, it's time for the heart of the show, the meat of the show. It's time to get into some movie reviews.
The hangly dangly meat.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this week we saw Dwayne The Rock Johnson return to the big screen, as if he doesn't have enough movies out right now.
The movie master.
He has released a film based on a video game called Rampage. Where shall I start? Should I start with A-Ron or should I start with...
Start with the one you have the most animosity towards.
Okay, A-Ron. All right, Aaron, what say you about Dwayne Johnson's newest foray on the big screen?
So here's The Rock doing the same thing The Rock does in every movie.
Which is?
Give eyebrow stares to really bad CGI and say really bad one-liners and try to look like he's an everyday man, but oh, surprise, he's an ex-Navy SEAL.
To be fair, you're describing Schwarzenegger.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. Yeah.
True, but I mean,
minus the eyebrow thing.
Didn't Arnold Schwarzenegger pass the torch to The Rock in the rundown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
But The Rock's no Schwarzenegger.
Whoa.
You are the new Schwarzenegger.
ow.
But fans of the game.
That's how that ritual went.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's like dumping him with a sword. You're the new Schwarzenegger.
ow. So.
But I'm The Rock. Schwarzenegger.
You can see him talking like
so
that.
So if you're a fan of the game, there's a really lazy homage to the game. Of the
Triple
80s
H?
Game.
Rampage.
Oh.
Yeah, stop
sorry.
It.
And then the last 30 minutes feels like the game.
Oh,
the
good.
Monsters just
oh, yeah?
clobbering down buildings.
Are they punching into windows and grabbing people out?
Yep. Yes!
And oh, then that's cool.
And then the helicopters shoot them, and they turn into people themselves with just underwear on.
Right, and they walk away with their hands on their privates.
Yeah, right? They cover the good parts.
That's so cool. I want to see this
movie. All right, I
want to
see it now.
But, I mean, it's... his name escapes me. Brad Payton?
Brad Payton, yes.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, right.
He's pretty much doing the same thing he did in San Andreas, just a disaster movie for the last 30-so minutes. The other portion of the movie is just, I don't know, it's just not interesting.
It's
a bunch of generic sci-fi talk.
Is George endearing at all, or is he just a CG thing that, you know, has a relationship with The Rock and sticks?
He's a gorilla.
He's really just a CG thing.
They just kind of like photoshopped Andy Serkis's Planet of the Apes performance. And just painted the fur white.
Wow.
Ape
crazy.
Strong.
He's the worst CGI version.
Together. Ape Strong.
Together.
With Flying Wolf.
You know, they try to give him...
Flying Wolf.
Just
Strong,
just,
too.
When you say that, add white ape, and then let's see where... Yeah, that's...
Well, M'Baku.
M'Baku. There you go.
Well, they try to give him personality with the whole sign language thing.
Right, because he flips him off, and they made a big deal about
that.
Yeah,
he flips him off. He shows him sign language for intercourse.
Wow.
Which is kind of, I don't know.
Because that's
what
I
want to
teach my pet monkey.
Yeah. That's what Penny Patterson taught Coco the gorilla. So.
That is true. He did. You're right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, whenever they brought the kids in to see Coco.
What is that monkey doing?
I don't know what this means, but I'm going to take this back to school.
Teacher, he's putting his fingers in his fingers. It's weird. Anyway, sorry.
I don't know.
So what do you think overall? Is this worth seeing, or is it one of those just stupid fun movies that you can wait for video?
Yeah, I'm not going to die. It's a fun popcorn movie, but it's not Rush Hour, go pay for it in theaters.
So you need to eat popcorn. With this movie.
Gotcha.
Well, here's the thing, is that I have to tell you that your review begs to differ with the box office numbers, because this movie is making...
It was dynamite.
It was dynamite. Like dynamite.
It's selling three packs of pops, like pancakes, hotcakes. There we go. That's the analogy.
I think A Quiet Place almost beat
Pandax.
It was like 2 million
Pandax,
short, I think.
Professor Barry, what say you about Rampage?
He loved it. The end.
He did.
So good.
Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. The thing is, well, I mean, is it fun, stupid? It's stupid. It's very, very stupid. And the problem with the film, and it's a very big problem, is that I think this time, despite the fact that Dwayne Johnson is a terrific entertainer, he truly is. This guy can work a crowd of thousands, literally. We know that about
That's what The Rock says.
That's what The Rock does.
The Rock says.
And yet, in this film... I feel like he really misjudged his audience, or he doesn't really know who his audience is. Because this movie begins like a children's film, very much like a children's film. Like, it wants to be Jumanji. It wants to be something that has an edge, but it's appropriate for all members of the family. And it's not. It feels like an R-rated movie that was really really sloppily chopped down to a PG-13.
Wow.
It's a really mean-spirited movie. Yes. I mean, uncommonly mean-spirited. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this was an R-rated movie. You know, if I – even the cut that
well, they're flipping the bird. Isn't that like – how many times can you do that in a PG-13
movie?
This movie
has one of the largest body counts I've seen in a long time for an action movie, even for, especially for one that's like
– even greater than Batman v Superman?
It's a really it's a lousy film. It's a sleazy film. It's a really, really bloody and intense movie. It has a real mean streak.
Wow.
It's not like Jurassic Park or Jumanji where there's a sense of wonder. There's a real sense of desperation, of a real lack of clarity to the vision here. And The Rock, you know, he's giving it his game face, but as Aaron indicated, he's not doing anything we haven't seen him do before and do so much better. There is no chemistry with anybody on the screen with him other than himself.
Even Naomi Harris?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
She has no business being in this film. Not because she's not good enough, because this film
she's
is
a woman.
So beneath
Got
her.
It.
No, how dare you?
I'm just kidding.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan, it's bizarre.
Do you know there's actually women in the room?
Oh, there's women in the room. I forgot.
To defend themselves now?
I'm sorry, I forgot.
You misogynist.
I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that.
No,
ladies.
There's no need to go on about it. I mean, this
says something about misogyny.
This movie's neither here nor there.
Here's the thing for me, though. I can't walk into the theater as a PG-13 movie and go, hey, listen, this is one of those decent matinee films. Nothing like that at
this
all.
This isn't like Fast and Furious, where at the heart of it is, you know, the heart of it is this, you know, this idea of a family dynamic, as Vin Diesel's been telling us over and over with every single film. This doesn't even have that. It's a heartless film. It really is.
So there's nothing between George and
– No, absolutely not. No, it's
you rescued him as a baby.
Cheesy at best. And there's a scene where George witnesses his parents being butchered by poachers. It has no business being in this film. It's one of the many scenes where you're like, kids are going to be traumatized or just unhappy with the film. It's too dang long. It has its moments. I mean, there's so much stuff in it, but it is like the worst leftovers of Roland Emmerich and Michael Bay. It's not a good film.
You've just piqued
my
interest.
Now I want to see it.
Now I want to see it.
I totally want to see it now.
I'm so glad that sounds like a glowing endorsement for you.
That was totally a glowing endorsement. Matter of fact, I think you should add a star for putting that endorsement in there to your review.
I totally didn't want to see it until just now.
Until you just said
you heard the part where I said leftovers, right? Reheated leftovers. Okay,
right. But the good parts. Right.
Yeah.
The good parts.
Yeah. I think the best thing is Jeffrey Dean Morgan, because he's like the only one who's having fun.
He's doing a Billy Bob Thornton impression and doing his best.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan's in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
He's in the trailer.
Is Lucille in it?
No, Lucille's not in it.
He's got like this.
But it's a real seal.
He's got a silver plated gun and he tries to act like a cowboy.
Nice.
But he knows he's in this trash. And you can tell he's having
fun. I'm glad he's having a good time.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So A-Rod, what say you? What's your star rating on this puppy? And should we go see it?
Mine was 2 and no.
That was a good answer. Professor Barry, what say you on Rampage?
About star and a half and no.
And no. All right. Is it worth watching on home video?
It's the kind of movie you watch on an airplane.
Wow.
And halfway through the movie.
I totally want to see this movie.
And halfway through the movie, you want to walk out, and you can't.
And you can't walk out.
Or you ask for someone's digital copy and watch it on your phone.
There you go.
That's all right. That's
my MO anyway. Professor Barry, I know you weren't here last week, but I do want you to kind of talk a little bit about a film that we got into just a bit, A Quiet Place, the new John Krasinski film.
Yeah.
Just because you are the professor of cinema.
Stop.
Give us your take on what you thought of A Quiet Place for those that missed out last week.
No.
Yes.
Please, never. Sir. Never.
Yeah. Very highly rated.
Yeah. I rated it very.
You gave it 5.
I gave it 5.
We all did.
That's got all the stars.
All the stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there was nothing left for Rampage. Because A Quiet Place took the stars.
That's not true. Rampage got more stars than Suicide Squad.
That's true.
Suicide Squad got 0.
And
that movie won an Oscar.
That movie won an Oscar.
You know, it's funny.
Aaron actually asked me that. I was like, well, when's the last time you gave 5 stars? I gave 5 stars early in the year. I gave Molly's Game 5 stars.
Yeah, Molly's
stars.
Game 5 stars.
No one saw that damn movie. But
yeah. Yeah, but his stars like reset at the end of the year.
They kind of do because he is the founder of Hawaii Film.
I only have so many stars to give out, you guys.
That's very true.
No, honestly, like for me, it was a very easy 5 stars. I mean, like forget the stars. I mean, the film is. I think it's a perfect film. I don't think it does anything wrong. I think it had so many challenges. It's Krasinski's first horror film, and it works. It's a movie where most of the language, most of the dialogue, most of the communication between the characters is through ASL, American Sign Language, and it works. It's a movie with a brilliant sound design, a very, very tricky sound design. Everybody's been saying, oh, it's like these guys must have loved how, you know, it's such a quiet film. The sound guys must have had a blast working on the film because they didn't do anything. No, like this is – it's a very complex film.
I agree.
And it uses the language of cinema in a ways that I rarely ever see in a major motion picture.
I mentioned that last week that they do something in this film that hasn't been done in a long time, and they actually – act through emotion.
Yes.
And that is something, I mean, okay. Through sign language and through the way they look at each other, there is something there. And they really get the point across with just emotion and do it without words. And, you know, and that, and this is going to sound real stupid and cheesy, but I haven't seen that since early silent films, you know, like Mary Pickford and things.
Well, let me
of that
reference,
nature.
You know, let's use our symbiotic relationship here. One of our favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone.
See you, Aaron. Gene's symbiotic relationship. Anyway. Sorry, go ahead.
You and I have always had a system. But no, you love Rod Serling in The Twilight Zone.
Loved
as much as I do.
Loved The Twilight
and
Zone.
That episode, The Invaders, with Gene Stapleton.
Yes.
This is the equivalent.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. You're absolutely right.
I think it's...
Because she was acting with herself.
There's no dialogue until the very end. And
right.
It's a throwaway.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. So for you, would you say that this is something that needs to be seen in the theater?
Yes, absolutely. And it's I think it'll be a really memorable experience if you see it in the theater. When we saw it, it was this crazy thing where everybody in the theater really gave in to the feel of the movie. They gave in to the tone of it. People were shutting the hell up for the entire film. They were on the edge of their seat. You could hear gasps, but you could also hear people force themselves to be quiet and to give in to the world that the movie was presenting.
Right.
And the one moment where a lady yelled out something at the screen, and it was, you know, one of those great moments where you could feel it was like a real sense of like she just had to yell at the screen. Everyone's like, shh, you know, so they completely jumped on her, which was great. This movie forces audiences to shut up and give in to the demands of the movie for 90 minutes. It's not much to ask for, and it'll scare the hell out of you. There's a sense of heart. There's a sense of story. If anything, I think it's a beautiful movie about a young daughter really feeling like she's lost her connection with her father. And
right.
It takes the whole film for her to regain that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film, and it's scary as hell.
I like the fact that they don't try to over-explain anything.
Right.
I really like the mystery of the fact that they try and say everything through the television or through the news clippings and things like that. That was great because that's all I needed to know about it. And like you said, it does feel like the season 4 of The Twilight Zone when they were in hour episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
The only thing about it I didn't like, and I told Aaron, is the end credits rolled and I saw Michael Bay's name. Like, oh,
I was like,
no,
yes!
No.
Michael Bay's winning an Oscar! It's going to be amazing.
You know, that horrifies
me. It's going
to
be a makeup Oscar for Transformers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he's a producer on the film,
yes.
So if the movie wins Best Picture, he's going to get on stage.
Yeah.
You know he's going to, like, get out of my way.
That's right.
Time to shine.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, this is my quiet place. That's what it is.
Moment of silence for my career.
That's right.
I, Michael Bay.
Michael Bay.
Bastard.
Amazing. So you're a five-star. You're a five-star guy on
easy
that quiet place.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to John Krasinski doing more films in the horror genre. And I don't even think this is a horror movie, though.
You can make the argument that it isn't. And, you know, from the way he's spoken about it, because he said that he doesn't like horror films. He was just attracted to the scripts and the family dynamic. I wonder if this is a one-off for him.
Could be.
I think he'll direct again, obviously.
Did you see him campaigning to do Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Him and Emily Blunt as.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was, like, right after the movie came out. He was like, I would do a Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's already set to direct a sci-fi movie, Life on Mars or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Really?
That's right. He is.
Okay.
Yeah. John Krasinski. Very talented guy. I mean, the other movies that he did, I mean, I wrote The Hollers was eh. But I mean, this one
I wasn't
really
a fan of his first movie, Brief Interviews with Hideous Man. It was basically just like, it's just kind of these vignettes of awful guys giving monologues to the camera, and he was one of them. And
I tell you something, he's coming to his own with this film, and hopefully this will just further his career because he did a great job with Quiet Place.
Well, I saw Quiet Place on Friday again.
Yeah?
And it still has the same exact effect. I was... Like, recently, if I see a movie again in theaters, it doesn't
hook me as much as the first time, but this movie had me. And again, the whole audience was quiet. It still works.
I agree. Yeah.
And then I was afraid because there was a bunch of teenagers that came in, and I was like, oh, great. It's going to be bad.
I was kids, right? No, because what they were doing, what you're saying is the one that I was in was the same thing. Like, people were afraid to get candy from the box that they had in their hand.
It's fantastic.
That's great. It's perfect. That's absolutely friggin' perfect.
It's a great diet movie.
Yeah, it is a great diet movie. No doubt about it.
Well, that's pretty powerful for people to.
Oh, for sure.
In today's day and age, for people to actually have good etiquette while watching a movie because it adds to the experience of the film and actually immersing yourself in the story, it's a total rarity. But the movie is, that's neither here nor there. It's an excellent film.
Excellent film. Yeah. 5 stars from the great one, Professor Barron. Ladies and gentlemen, we may do another podcast tonight. We've got just a little side note. We'll bring them in the next show. We've got 3 ladies who have who will be joining us or commandeering the show for a bit next show. We'll be talking. I don't know what the hell we're going to be talking about.
About
lady stuff.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So
we're going to learn.
Yeah, we're going to learn something. Yeah. So it'll be a lot of fun. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. other than that, right before we get to some hard media, the master of hard media, Aaron here in a few minutes. Big news came out today, or not? I don't know if it's big, but Steven Spielberg is directing his first comic book movie.
Not big news.
Well, it's called Black Hawk. He'll be directing. It's a DC comic.
Black Hawk is like a nothing comic. No, it's like when you go watch those Western comics, Kid Colt or. Comics that nobody cared about even when they were coming out.
Yeah, you know, like Tintin.
Yeah.
That's right, like Tintin. You're right.
There are some very nostalgic, maybe like 60 or 70 year olds who are like, ooh, a Blackhawk movie. Nobody else cares. Well, just the fact that it's a DC movie and everybody's like, ooh, a DC movie for Steven. He's picking the easiest thing he possibly can because nobody has any. You know,
so he can do whatever he wants with it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, what is it? What is the hook? I don't know the character.
Blackhawk is, I don't even know. It's like a military dude who has like Native American roots or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
So I just go by what I see on the covers. Like, I see them in collections everywhere. You know, it was comics in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, the covers are kind of engaging, but I don't know anything about the character.
He's
kind of
like
that.
Wolf in Mortal Kombat.
No. Yes, exactly. He's exactly like that. He has a phantom tomahawk. He just. Very racist. It's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely not.
Okay, just checking. Great character, by the way, in Mortal Kombat, this wolf. Anyway, I always like
Mortal Kombat. The first Mortal Kombat movie? I'll agree with you there. Yeah, it was a good movie.
Absolutely. I even like Annihilation, surprisingly enough. the wonderful Steven Spielberg doing a comic book movie for DC, which I'm sure DC likes to have that feather in their cap, regardless
of
whether it's
Black Hawk or not. No, I think it's just Warner Brothers kind of switching gears and like, how can we make use of all the DC licenses we own as Warner, and they're like, we're really screwing the pooch on the ones people like, so let's try something nobody knows anything about.
Right.
And then give it to a for sure guy like Steven Spielberg, and then boom, it'll make money. Who cares?
Did you guys see Ready Player One? You see how good he did with that movie?
Incredible. I didn't see it.
That was amazing. If you didn't, you're missing out, sir.
Well, it's nice to know he's doing fun movies again. Or he's trying to get his little...
Yeah, but Blackhawk's not necessarily a really fun comic. DC is... It's more of a mature subject matter. It's like...
That's where Steven is right now. Mr. Spielberg is... he's in his Bridge of Spies.
Lincoln mode.
Can I say his last days? Anyway, that's not what I meant.
Lisa...
What?
Lisa Kawaguchi in the chat is saying we need more geeky nerdy ladies.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Well, we need to find some first.
Yeah.
There's actually right there.
Oh, well, don't worry. They'll be joining us for the next hour of the show, cuz we're going to do 2 pods tonight, so that'll be fun. I don't know what we're going to talk about. But we'll think of something.
Yes.
Apparently snuck a lady in the chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's she doing in there? Lisa.
That's your real name.
Obviously, one of the administrators gave her approval without me knowing. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding.
What?
John J. Murakami?
Yes.
To mail it up a bit?
Yeah, he's mailed it up a bit.
He just signed in.
So, Aaron. other than the Blackhawk news, which was not too exciting, anything else that we missed this week as far as any news?
Sadly, a lot of people passed away. A lot of entertainers.
Who passed on this week?
Harry Anderson from Night Court.
Night Court. He passed away.
No magician, too.
No magician and stand-up comic.
And comic.
Mm-hmm.
Mitzi Shore,
Pauly Shore's mom.
Pauly Shore's mom passed away.
I want to give Pauly Shore a call and see what he's doing.
Store. Do that. You do that, Alicia.
I love Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
She's the best.
You know, it's Arlie Ermey.
Arlie Ermey. That's right.
Star of The Frighteners.
Frighteners. Yeah. That's the funny that that's the go-to. Not Full Metal Jacket. No. The Frighteners.
Not Dead Man Walking.
The Frighteners.
He was incredible in that movie.
Great movie, by the way.
Michael J. Fox, best movie ever.
Frighteners is better than Back to the Future, for sure.
Yes. One movie needs an entire trilogy.
Great show. Anyway, who else passed
And then Milos Forman, filmmaker, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Milos Forman did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is a great film. He also did...
You say so.
You should watch it.
I've never watched
it. It's a fantastic movie.
I enjoyed the book a lot.
Nurse Ratched. If you don't know anything about Nurse Ratched, just watch the movie. It's a phenomenal
I've read the book, like I said.
Also, he's the director of Amadeus with Tom Hulce, which is fantastic. He's also responsible for The People versus Larry Flint.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah, of course it is.
My hero, Larry Flint.
It's about porn, so obviously he watched it.
Yeah, of course. I loved it. I was raised in a porn store. You know this, right?
Exactly. That's what I mean. So you watched
it. It's not a joke.
Yeah, I know it's not a joke, for sure. Milos Forman, what else did he direct?
Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey.
Did he direct the documentary about Man on the Moon?
No, he didn't. No, he did not.
Because that was really good, too.
Yeah, that was an excellent one. That was excellent, by the way. Milos Forman, very talented director.
He didn't direct very much, but what he did direct.
There's a lot of stuff that people need to look at. He did a film called Ragtime that needs to be re-released.
Oh, yes!
It's an excellent film. Also, Valmont. Most people know Dangerous Liaisons, but Valmont was it's the same story, came out a year later, was with Annette Bening and Colin Firth.
It's even better than Dangerous Liaisons. It's a precursor to Dangerous Liaisons, right?
Well, it's the same story. It's the same story.
And then Cruel Intentions came and wiped them both away.
Then they ceased to matter.
Ryan Phillippe just nailed it.
Right.
No need to remake
that movie. When Selma Blair and Sarah Michelle Gellar kiss on screen, that wiped out everything.
Right. Cinema history.
Cinema history was made. All right.
Dwayne Acoba keeps asking about Isle of Dogs.
Okay, I have not seen Isle of Dogs yet. It is a new Wes Anderson film. I am a huge fan of Wes Anderson. Not everything, but I love The Life Aquatic. It's my favorite movie. I love The Fantastic Mr. Fox. I do like The Royal Tenenbaums.
I really like and the Rushmore. Douchey fans of Royal Tenenbaums.
Hey, that's me. Oh, it is you.
That's totally you.
So Isle of Dogs I have not seen yet. I'm very interested to watch it because I love The Fantastic Mr. Fox. This one seems to have more of a it doesn't have that whimsical feel to it when I look at the trailers.
Yeah, it's a little too Japanesey.
Oh my god.
I didn't say that. Jeez.
What? No
wow.
Women, though,
so good lord.
No, is there no women in this movie? I wouldn't be surprised.
You're lucky your last name is Seki. Yes. Anyway.
Well, me and Barry tried to go, but it was sold out.
That's the crazy thing, because we saw Rampage.
There's a lot of hype behind the movie.
It was sold out. Yeah. Like, Rampage and Truth or Dare were open, but Isle of Dogs sold out.
Isn't that the Madonna movie?
I wish it was the Madonna movie.
Wow. All right.
I like the Madonna movie.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, what? I have.
It's great.
It's all right. It's all right, I guess.
Madonna's Truth or Dare.
Madonna's Truth or Dare. Don't you remember
totally
that movie?
Lost. Yeah.
Great movie.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, coming out this week at the theaters, what we got there, A-Ron?
The only thing is Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah, I Feel Pretty.
Trainwreck Part 2?
I Feel Pretty.
Sounds like a train wreck.
I guess it's like an online dating comedy where she's...
But there's really good actresses in it. There's like Michelle Williams and Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah.
You know, Amy Schumer.
More Amy Schumer.
There's like really good actresses in it.
I did not find her appealing whatsoever. I'm not a fan, so it's not me. I'm not an Amy Schumer guy.
I hate the concept of this movie. This idea that she thinks that she's fat and ugly. She's working out of the gym.
Oh, this is that movie.
She hits her head, and then she thinks that she's attractive and beautiful, and she goes. And it's basically the joke. It's basically just a joke on her. It's shallow Hal. It's stupid. It's cynical.
Except she's Hal and the.
If this movie was Brave, they would admit that, you know what, there's a lot of guys out there who find her attractive. Why not just have a movie where she has a boyfriend who's really good looking and they don't make any reference to the fact that, you know, that she doesn't look like maybe every girl on the cover of a magazine.
To be fair, though, coming from me, she is pretty fat and ugly, right?
Whoa, hey, come on.
I'm just kidding. Good God, everybody freaks out. Jeez, I'm just joking. Oh, just kidding. Anyway.
Funny jokes.
Super Troopers 2 is also good.
Super Troopers 2. That has been Super Troopers, of course, is the
movie
cult classic,
right?
By the Broken Lizard people. It is quite.
They're Mounties this time. Right?
Yeah, it gained quite a following.
Yeah, because we all know how Club Dread was.
Yeah, I think they peaked with Beer Fest myself. I love Beer Fest.
I think Beer Fest is the perfect Broken Lizard movie.
I went to the theater to see Club Dread.
Poor that man. Was, did you ask for your money back? I would have.
Usually I can find something that, like, you know, there was nothing in there.
It's like Bill Paxton's worst movie. Yeah.
Like, there was that mangina joke, and I was like, almost laughed.
I'm telling you what, like, I'm with Professor Barry. They peak with Beer Fest. I think Beer Fest was a great concept.
It's so funny.
It's a very funny concept. It was, ironically enough, for a stupid comedy, it made sense. So I think they did a great job. And Super Troopers 2, I will say that I may give it a pass because I think that the Mountie concept is interesting. It may work. I don't know. Anytime you can mock Canadians, I'm down.
Yeah, of course.
So it's
They're
cool.
too polite to fight back.
Yeah, they are. Exactly. last but certainly,
The trailer for Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
Oh, the one Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
I'm mildly interested. Like, I'm not like it's not.
The second trailer is better. I think.
Is it? The first trailer I saw wasn't very good.
But then the second trailer they give away too much of the heist.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So stay away from it.
Is Steven Soderbergh involved at all in this?
It's Gary Ross is the director, so I don't know.
Gary Ross is directing. Gary Ross, of course.
Soderbergh is executive producer.
Oh, he is. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so he's just funny.
Do we know if there's any cameos from the original crew?
Not yet.
We do know that Sandra Bullock is playing the sister of George Clooney's character.
They make mention of Danny in the...
Danny Ocean, right. Yeah, so she is an Ocean, for sure. So Ocean's 8.
I don't know. My curiosity's peaked because I'm a sucker for heist films, but I don't know how this one's going to come.
May I make a recommendation if you're a sucker for heist movies? On digital media right now, not available on Blu-ray yet, but on digital media, get Den of Thieves.
Yeah.
If you're down for a heist
movie. Is that with
Gerard Butler. Yeah. Gerard Butler. And you know who else?
50 Cent, right?
50 Cent.
Right?
50. No,
I'm
not
sorry.
50 Cent.
It's 50 Cent.
It's 50 Cent.
50. 50.
50. Sorry.
You don't... 50 is pronounced 50.
Yo.
Man, you ain't got it.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. So you can check it out.
Okay.
Check it out, Den of Thieves.
They shot him in his ear, yo.
So I'll probably see it sometime next year.
Yeah, it's Heat Light is what it is, kind of, sort of.
I'm worried about Ocean's 8 because of Gary Ross. He's not really...
Yeah.
I still think his best movie is Pleasantville.
Yeah. Anybody seen The Hunger Games? Ugh. Anyway. Yeah. And you know what other movie that I don't
great
like that he directed?
Great segue. I guess who worked on Hunger Games in the room?
Can you introduce your friend, even though she's not?
We're going to do this now. I've only got
five
minutes.
Worked on The Hunger Games.
All right, let's
filmography
of her. Wow, see?
Nice.
Look, she's more established than anybody else in the room.
Oh,
you're just like brushing her aside, like she's not even here. Typical male chauvinist pants.
I would actually like Professor Barry to do Shay's introduction if possible.
Yeah, she's got an IMDb. What do you got?
Well, I've got a Facebook page. Well, listen, here's the thing.
It's not hard. It's just like Wikipedia.
Let's,
are we going to cover Lost in Space? Because that's like...
No, we are. We're gonna wrap up this show. We're going to do another one. We'll make it like a super episode. Right. We'll wrap up this show.
Did you guys see it?
So we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But before we go...
Did you work on Lost in Space? I didn't scroll through the whole filmography. Well, let me mansplain it to you.
Oh, my God. I think that was what Greg was here for.
No, he's doing a great job. I love it. Before we get out of here, let's check in with the master of hard media. Find out what's brand new.
Hard media.
The master of hard media. Let's find out what's brand new on video this week.
This week was only the only big ones is The Commuter, which is actually really good. Liam Neeson.
Give
it a watch.
Right? So good.
Casper or Spirit.
Casper Spirit is new this week.
And what else?
And The Post.
With Tom Hanks. It's the mood Steven Spielberg's been in
it's
for
the
like
boring Spielberg.
Yeah, it's for the last 10 years.
Well, I picked it up, so I'm gonna be watching it on Thursday.
Have you not seen it yet?
No.
Is Tom Hanks wearing a trench coat in the rain? I'm into it.
Make sure you have lots of coffee beforehand.
Yes.
And then you have Back to the Future plan for afterwards.
Yeah. Because you will not have any fun watching this movie.
You will learn so much.
Yeah.
John Murakami, Lost in Space, is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. Don't worry.
We'll
talk about
that. Come on.
We will.
Give The Commuter a chance, honestly. Yeah. It's a good
the
action
commuter?
Movie.
Does it go from point A to point B?
Mm-hmm.
Bad thing, it's just like nonstop, except it's on a train, but it's super well shot. And
you worked on Goosebumps?
Isn't that amazing?
Wait, is it nonstop?
Wow.
Is it nonstop on
same
a train?
Director.
Oh, same director.
That's
amazing.
That's Airplane.
So it's nonstop on a train?
Yeah. Unstoppable. That's the one I'm thinking about with Tony Scott.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking
different.
About.
Oh.
Anyway, listen, that's it for part one of this show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be bringing in some lovely ladies introduce on the show. Until next time, folks, you guys can download the podcast on iTunes and on Audioboom and on Stitcher. You guys can also check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. And then, of course, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch.
Nobody likes that page.
No one does. So for Aaron, for Alika, Dr. Leaks, for Format, and of course, for my brother in arms, my friend, my cinema life mate, ladies and gentlemen, it is Professor Barry. I, of course, am G Money. Until next time, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys, aloha.